Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Ciarone, joined by Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. You guys haven't worked today at all. You must be not tired in the least.
I'm well rested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great Sunday, though.
Yes.
Such a fun Sunday.
Right? Lots of surprises.
I can't remember one like this. And I don't know if there was a week like this last year.
No,
there
I mean.
16 of them.
Yeah, but this, with so many games close, I mean, we were a little disappointed in the 4 o'clock.
You've taken a little too much hiatus between football.
I guess so.
There was a lot like this last year.
All I know is that there was a lot of yelling in that seven-screen green room, and I know why I was yelling, probably for different reasons than other people, but I'm sure you guys had your own reasons. So let's start off with the leaders, because I'm sure people want the good news first. There were some surprises there. So what do you guys think? We got an interesting list. Obviously, Derek Anderson up there. I don't know who would have expected that. Matt Ryan, Le'Veon Bell. What do you guys think?
The top two are great. The next two, I don't know how many people wanted to see them ahead of guys like Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo. Those quarterbacks were pleasant surprises if you started, certainly Jake Locker in a two-quarterback league. But I don't know how many people were counting on Derek Anderson to step in for Cam Newton and play well.
How about Andy Dalton with another 20-point game? We keep writing him off all offseason. I don't know if he can do it again. And he comes out, and he's one of the best quarterbacks you could have started this week in fantasy.
The nice surprises, though. No Sean Moreno coming out, leading that Dolphins backfield. Both guys actually played well, Moreno and Lamar Miller. And then one of my favorite guys this year is Mark Ingram. And to see him come out and play well in week one, get the two touchdowns. Could have been three if the Saints wouldn't have given that one to Kyrie Robinson. But, hey, we'll settle for two.
To talk about that one at all. Like I said, there was a lot of yelling going on in that room, and then I got up and left for good reason. But where there's good news, there's also bad. So obviously, we got to talk about the injuries. Let's start off with the one that had everybody screaming, the dislocated elbow. That was very gruesome. Tyler Eifert, Cincy, obviously, we all saw that one. There were vines within 30 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
Bunch of other notables, too. What jumps out at you here?
Well, I think the running backs at the top, you know, Doug Martin, Ben Tate, you know, the fact that those guys didn't play a full game, you know, Martin loses a touchdown to Bobby Rainey. Ben Tate loses a ton of production to Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell, who's going to be a popular guy off waivers this week with his two touchdowns. The Bears guys are expected to be okay. Both played, came in and out of the game, you know, with their respective injuries. And then I think the big one from fantasy perspectives that play in IDP league, Jadeveon Clowney going to miss some time with what sounds as if it's a torn meniscus.
Well, the Derek Johnson one is also real bad for those in IDP leagues. That's a guy who racks up a lot of tackles and does a lot of important things. He was one of two big injuries for the Kansas City defense today, and that's just something for fantasy owners to keep in mind when they have games match up against the Chiefs. That defense is getting worse.
And another note on Clowney, looks like it's a meniscus tear, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. So.
Yep.
Some people not too happy about that. I, for instance, am not too happy about Alshon Jeffrey or Doug Martin, but, you know, so it goes.
Well, Alshon will be okay.
He'll be all right, though, right?
Yeah, we'll see about Doug Martin.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, I'm going to work the waivers. That's another segment. Speaking of which, who are we targeting? We're going to get back to this later in the show, but if you guys can just go with maybe, say, one guy.
I think for me right now, it's actually James Starks, who didn't play today.
Okay.
You know, you're looking at the Eddie Lacy concussion. If Starks is in there, we saw it last year. Eddie Lacy missed the game after being concussed. Starks came out and played very well and played at a high level. So even though it didn't impact today's games, I think James Starks is going to be one of the highly targeted guys in waivers on Tuesday. And then the other one would be, we'll see what happens tomorrow night with the Andre Ellington situation. If Ellington doesn't play, that'll send people chasing after Jonathan Dwyer, especially if Dwyer has a big game.
I'm intrigued by Andrew Hawkins. I'll admit it. He had 8 catches today, and Cleveland's going to be playing from behind a lot. So that's a guy who has potential opportunity in PPR leagues to deliver to that 15-point mark and maybe be a third receiver. Alan Hearns had a great first quarter.
Oh,
really couldn't
fall
do anything
into
after that.
That.
No, I don't want to fall into that either because the points came off of turnovers. But I will say this, and you have to admit this with Alan Hearns, he should play a lot so long as Cecil Shorts is sidelined.
Yeah, but we also didn't see really anything of Allen Robinson. So this is going to be a receiving core I think that's in flux.
Right.
I don't know if people are going to go out and say, okay, now they need somebody. Somebody stepped up.
Right.
I think to me it's more fluky than anything.
You feel like Hearns and Steve Smith are the two booby traps on the list?
Not so much Steve Smith, because I think, not the touchdown. Forget about the touchdown.
Right, that was
point
crazy.
Per reception leagues, I think he'll be okay.
All right.
More debate to come on this later in the show, so make sure that you guys stick around. But now we're going to head to commercial break. Remember, everybody, now that you've gotten the advice that you need, it's time to put it to good use. Join a CBS Sports Prize League and compete for up to $5,000 with a cash prize in every league. Go to cbssports.com/FFT to join or create a league today. We'll be right back with more from the Fantasy Football Today post-game show, so stick around, friends.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today postgame show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Shironi, joined by Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. Guys, it's time for some game recaps. This was a bananas Sunday, and not necessarily bananas in a good way for some of us who may have been picking games. speaking of which, let's start with the Falcons Saints, shall we? Went into overtime. Obviously, 37-34, Falcons won. Atlanta pulled out the win. I pulled out my hair. Thoughts on the Saints running game?
Well, your hair looks lovely. So.
Oh, thank you. I have half of it left.
It's good that you didn't pull it out too much.
Yeah, thanks, Saints.
I think from the Falcons standpoint, you're not going to find any starting options for a while until this sort of settles itself with Steven Jackson either establishing himself as the go-to guy or him when he gets hurt, which we've seen in the past, and maybe one of the three guys behind him, Anton Smith, Jacquizz Rodgers, and Devontae Freeman stepping up. Because all three made plays today, whether it was the other two guys scoring a touchdown in terms of Rodgers and Smith, or Freeman actually making some nice plays. But from the Saints' perspective, it's going to be confusing. You know, I know you've been saying this, you know, what role is he going to play, what role is he going to play?
Right.
I still think it's the top two guys, and Thomas and Ingram, and Robinson sort of the hybrid role of the two.
Well, let's just break down the touches, first of all. Ingram had 13 carries, and he had a catch. Pierre Thomas, 7 carries, 6 catches. So they were almost even in terms
of touches. But Thomas's role is locked in.
As being the passing downs,
right,
that type of guy. And Ingram, I think, is probably the better option. They're going to use Kyrie Robinson.
Sure.
Sometimes Kyrie Robinson will snake the touchdowns away from Mark Ingram. But I still feel like, as of now, Mark Ingram is the best running back to own in that offense.
All right. Bengals, Ravens. Bengals getting the win there. That was an interesting one. Very close at times. Should Bernard Pierce owners be worried? That's the question for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this was a guy that had an opportunity to come in and seize some piece of the pie for the two games, or in the two games that Ray Rice was going to miss, and to show if he could establish himself as making this more of a tandem. And, you know, he fumbled. And then Gary Kubiak and the coaching staff there said, you're done. And Justin Forsett came in and ran away with it. So Forsett's somebody that's worth taking a look at on waivers in a deeper league for week two, because it's a short week, and we'll find out if, in fact, they're going to go back to Bernard Pierce at all.
Yeah, the point I would make is that what do we know about Thursday night games? On the short week, running backs tend to do very well because the defense as a whole, a lot of guys that have to recover, running back one guy that really has to recover. And if Forsett is that guy, if they're going to go with him, and maybe they even say as much, then maybe he's a week two fix for those fantasy owners. We don't know what Toby Gerhardt's status is, what Doug Martin's status is, what Ben Tate's status is. And if you can't get those handcuffs off waivers, Forsett might be a very good short-term fix.
It's interesting you mentioned Ben Tate, because the Browns just ran for almost 200 yards
against
the Steelers.
So
this could be an interesting situation if, in fact, they go back to Pierce, you know, or they stick with Justin Forsett.
So many questions, and it's only the first Sunday. It's going to be such a good hair-pulling season. By the end of all of this, I'm going to have no hair left. Just so
right. You'll look like this, and it'll be weird.
Right. Well, even that wouldn't be that bad. I'll get a wig. All right. Bills versus Da Bears. Another
I don't know
one.
Why I didn't think of that. Go ahead.
Another one that went to overtime. Everyone was so sure. In fact, on our website, all the writers picked Chicago. Can't really blame them. That said, the question is Fred Jackson or CJ Spiller going forward. As a Fred Jackson owner, I'm curious to see what you guys are going to say.
I think you're going to, you know, look, it was nice to see CJ Spiller score a touchdown. He did it as on a receiving score. I still think, though, that Fred Jackson's going to just play his role. And he had the best run of the day. You know, if you look at the end, he set them up to win the game in overtime. So they're both going to be a factor. You're going to get games. You know, if Jackson didn't have that run, his fantasy production would have been very disappointing. So I think it's one of those situations where you want to own both these guys and just kind of see how this, you know, sort of settles itself. But Jackson's role is kind of established, and CJ Spiller is kind of in this stuck in no man's land.
Please don't take this as a sign that the Bills' offense is good. There were 3 Bears turnovers in the game, 2 interceptions by Jay Cutler, a Brandon Marshall fumble. The Bills took advantage. That's how they got to win this game. And it's unfortunate because the Bears' offense really, Cutler had almost 350 yards passing. Forte had well over 100 total yards. Very disappointing.
160.
I'm selling him short. You're right, 160 total yards. But, yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think Fred Jackson will get more opportunities. Case in point. You look at what Spiller did, 53 yards on 15 carries. That's good, but it's not amazing. And with Fred Jackson's run at the end of the game, kind of showed that he still has something left and he can contribute.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of Jackson will get the key spots.
Yeah.
Because the goal line touches and certainly the passing down work will favor him. It's going to take Spiller breaking off a run. But you can't discount that Spiller gave you a good production today.
Right.
11 fantasy points is still worth, you know, noting.
I do feel slightly vindicated, though, because I had Azer appraise my after my draft, and he said, well, I would have liked to see somebody better in your flex spot than Fred Jackson. I said, you know, I've had him before in the past. He's not that bad. It could be worse.
When he's healthy, he's fine.
He's fine, yeah. Right? All right. Thank you, guys. There you go, Azer. We still love you, though. All right, time for a commercial break, guys. Don't go away. Now that you've gotten the advice that you need, it's time to put it to good use. Join a CBS Sports Prize League and compete for up to $5,000 with a cash prize in every league. Go to cbssports.com/FFT to join or create a league today. We'll be right back, guys, with more from the Fantasy Football Today post-game show. Stick around.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Ciarone, joined by Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. We continue with our game recaps. Still a lot more to get through. Texans, Redskins. Texans won 17-6. All right, guys. RG3 scored 8 fantasy points. I would say, are we concerned, but is this even a surprise?
No, it was going to be a tough matchup for him. I was a little bit more optimistic. I know you expected this, Dave, but I thought, you know, look, he completed a good percentage of his passes, but it was so dink and dunk that it was hard to say that this is going to be something that's going to encourage fantasy owners going forward. So he's going to be on a lot of people's cut list. You know, if he drafted him as a number two quarterback, or maybe you drafted somebody better as your number two and he was expected to be your number one, you can absolutely get away from RG3 at this point and find somebody better on waivers to help your team in another spot.
So you're giving up on him after one game?
I just think it depends on your roster. Like, I'm in a league where Carson Palmer's on waivers. I'm going to cut RG3 to pick up Carson Palmer.
The thing that discouraged me the most was the fact that he only ran the ball 3 times and had 2 yards. Now, listen, they were playing from behind, but they couldn't have used his legs a little bit more as part of their game plan. That's disappointing to me, and that's a sign that they really want to focus on him being more of a pocket passer, not letting him run a little bit more. They don't want to take that chance. They understand what he is, and he's a bit of a fragile player when he does take off.
Fragile.
Yeah. I didn't want to say fragile.
Accent on the wrong syllable.
Thank you very much. If he gets a couple of touchdowns today, then no one's making that move. And so if I see RG3 on the waiver wire and I've got a dead roster spot, I might pick him up.
That's totally understandable. And I think it just depends on your roster and what you need to do. The encouraging thing was Pierre Garçon picked up right where he left off last year.
Catches.
A lot of targets, a lot of catches. Alfred Morris ran well. Didn't have a touchdown, but he ran well. And we can't really fully see what this receiving corps is going to look like because the Jordan Reed hamstring injury.
That, and I wonder if that's part of the reason why Garçon had all those catches. Deshaun had a lot of catches, too.
Yep.
So still a lot remains to be seen, as we said, just week one. But I wasn't particularly surprised by that. I guess I was as pessimistic, glass half empty as Mr. Richard over here.
Good to see the Texans guys, the three main guys that I think anybody was looking at. You know, Andre Johnson played well, didn't have a huge game, but played well. Aaron Foster played great. 27 carries, so you're looking forward to seeing that. And then DeAndre Hopkins, a lot of people are going to look at him and say, breakout potential. You know, he was really overlooked after a down rookie season. This is encouraging. It wasn't a great play. He got open, but
it was a great play.
I just don't know
if he can make a play like that every single time.
Fair point.
All right, so some stuff to be happy about. Another thing that I am particularly happy about, Titans 29, Chiefs 10. The Titans, Tennessee, were the only team that didn't disappoint me this week, so thank you very much. You guys were loving Locker back in our little viewing room there, but what happened to Jamaal Charles, please?
That's a great question.
We all
love to
know.
Let's call up Andy Reid right now. He's probably at home. We know he's not having a cheeseburger because they didn't win. And say, what were you thinking, big fella? You don't lean on your best running back, your best player on offense. You're going to get blown out like this.
Yep. That's all there is to it.
That's it.
Right? Jame, you got anything?
I wonder if the foot problem, you know, was anything to impact this performance because the touches weren't there. You know, so clearly they weren't trailing by a lot that they had to just all of a sudden go into this frenetic mode of letting Alex Smith, without Dwayne Bowe, for what it's worth, go out there and try to have to come back in this game. They could have easily leaned on Jamaal Charles a little more. Give credit to the Titans, though. They made a good job to take him out of the game.
Yeah. All right.
The receiving core, by the way, Travis Kelce was not bad. 3 catches for 49 yards. Probably didn't hit your expectations as far as Kelce's
production. You had to assume that the Titans were going to do a decent job of trying to contain him. And Anthony Fasano scored a touchdown, so.
Yeah.
At least they got the tight end involved.
They did. And 7 catches, 84 yards for Donnie Avery might be a season high.
Might be, yes.
There's some very happy people down here in South Florida, some of whom reside right here in our office wearing their Dolphins hats. Miami beat the Patriots 33-20. Cue the Twilight Zone music because it really happened in real life. That said, you guys don't really think that this carries over through the season, right? It's a fluke for Brady.
There were so many weird things that happened in this game. Shane Vereen got a short yardage touchdown. No Sean Moreno had a game like he had in Denver back last season. Lamar Miller had a touchdown for the Dolphins. Tom Brady had one touchdown for Gronk. That might have been the only normal thing that happened was that Rob Gronkowski scored a touchdown. So, yeah, a lot of crazy stuff that went down in this game.
No Sean Moreno or Lamar Miller going forward?
I'll say it, as long as he's healthy, he's the better of the two guys because he's the one that they brought in to replace Lamar Miller as the starter. And I think you have to buy into that because he looked good. I mean, this is now the last preseason game, the third preseason game, the tune-up game. He ran well there against Dallas. He ran well today against the Patriots, clearly. Mm-hmm. And Miller was – it was kind of a weird situation, like Dave said, because Miller was the one that was working on passing downs. He got the receiving touchdown there. So kudos to the Dolphins. You know, maybe they were just keeping this offense under wraps, the laser beam offense. You know, Bill Lazor is the offensive coordinator. Keeping it under wraps. And then, look, Mike Wallace scored against Darrelle Revis. That's impressive.
Yeah.
You got the production from the quarterback. You know, he didn't have a huge fantasy game, but Tannehill, you know, held his own. And then they did this all without Mike Pouncey. So once they get their offensive line solidified, this is going to be a fun offense to potentially keep an eye on.
Like I said, Twilight Zone.
Very good way to play.
And another thing just to note, because we talked about this a lot, Julian Edelman, very good game with Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, good point.
All right, good stuff. We're ending on a good note. We're going to head to commercial break, guys, but be sure to stick around. And now that you've gotten the advice you need, it's time to put it to good use. Join a CBS Sports Prize League and compete for up to $5,000 with a cash prize in every league. Go to cbssports.com/FFT to join or create a league today. Stick around. We'll be right back with more from the Fantasy Football Today post-game show.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Shironi, joined by Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. Recaps, and more recaps. And now, fellows, we shall move on to the bane of my existence, the New York Jets. Because who
They're
else
the bane of
would
your
be the bane
existence?
Of, the bane of my football existence as a New Yorker. And I don't even want to get into this. But anyway, they beat the Raiders. They couldn't make it easy,
they
though.
They win, and they're the baby.
Well, because they didn't cover, but that's another show. Don't be fooled, though, people. This is not an indication of wins to come. I don't think so. Fantasy-related question, though. Will Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory eat into each other's production? What do you guys think?
As long as both are healthy, I would say yes. You know, you look at what they did today. If Chris Johnson doesn't get the receiving touchdown, then Ivory has the better day. If Ivory doesn't break the 71-yard touchdown, then Chris Johnson has the better day. So it's great to see them both play well, but you know what? They're not playing the Raiders every week, and that's the thing I think you got to take note. So it was good. I think, you know, if you look at both Dave and I's rankings, we recognize that this was a great matchup for the Jets running backs. I don't think we expected Chris Ivory to be the better of the two, but you got what you needed from Chris Johnson.
They're about to enter the NFC North. Their next three games are against the Packers, Bears, and Lions. I'm not sure if that's the exact order. Two of them are at home. What?
Oh, my.
We see what you did.
Wizard of Oz reference.
Ba-dum.
There's no yellow brick road here for Chris Johnson or Chris Ivory. I think you've really got to be careful using them as anything more than low-end number two running back or flex option.
I'll tell you what, though. If I don't have a huge investment in Chris Johnson, and maybe I do have Chris Ivory stashed on a bench somewhere, I would try and sell him to the Ben Tate owner, to the Andre Ellington owner, to see if you can get something great in return, because I think he's headed for a downturn from this point forward.
Yeah.
All right, Eagles-Jags, obviously Eagles won that one, 34-17. This was a fun one. It gives meaning to the phrase, it ain't over until the fat lady sings, or until someone sings, because at halftime on the desk, you guys were making all sorts of bold statements.
Throwing in the towel on Nick Foles, and, you know, ready to crown the Jaguars. Apparently, according to Gil Brandt, this is the first time in NFL history a team was down by 17 or more at halftime and came back to win by 17 or more. First time ever in NFL history. So I was justified in throwing in the towel on the Eagles.
Yeah, but figure that it's the Eagles at this point in their existence that do that.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
It's a little crazy. And so now the big question is, what's next with Nick Foles?
Right.
Is this the guy that we're going to see, the guy who's going to fumble all over the place and throw interceptions? We knew he wasn't going to have just two interceptions all year long, but I thought he'd still be a good fit in that offense. Mm. And in the second half, he was. completely different quarterback in the first half. The guy I saw in the first half, he was worse than any guy I saw in the Philadelphia quarterback last year for the Eagles. In the second half, he really stepped up, took advantage of a bad defense, had a big stat line, almost 20 fantasy points. I would take it. I'm a Nick Foles owner in a bunch of leagues. I'm taking that very happily.
That Jekyll and Hyde thing doesn't scare you, though, Jamie? I mean,
well, this is what I was expecting, this type of performance. Not necessarily the turnover-prone guy in the first half or the big production in the second half, but 18 fantasy points. 18 to 20 range as opposed to 20 to 29 range, which is what he was doing last season. He closed last year with 20 more fantasy points in 8 straight games. This now broke that streak. And I think you're going to see, because without DeSean Jackson there, somebody who can change defenses and the way that defenses play the Eagles, their offense is going to look a little different. You saw Jeremy Maclin with the big play down the field. That was great, but that's not going to be the norm for Maclin. It's not going to be the norm for this offense. And they're also going to run the ball better. LeSean McCoy really struggled running the ball. His fantasy number looked good.
It was okay.
But it's not a LeSean McCoy. It's not a Chip Kelly type game.
Right.
They want to be more run dominant. And I think that's something you're going to have to look for going forward.
And then Darren Sproles also had a ton of work in the game. Really got lucky. They had a 4th-and-1 in the second half. And Sproles just happened to be the guy in the game at the time. It wasn't something that Sproles is going to do every time they have 4th-and-1. And he broke free and ran for a 49-yard touchdown. So it's a nice first game for Darren Sproles. It might be his best game as an Eagle all season long. By the way, Peyton Manning is going to give the Eagles an assist for their Week 2 game against the Colts, because he's going to go and take on the Colts on Sunday night and open up all sorts of weaknesses on that Colts defense for the Eagles to exploit. So I'm not jumping off the Nick Foles bandwagon at all. I think he does better than 18 fantasy points next week at Indy.
You found many ways to justify your position, at least, Dave.
I've been on the Nick Foles roller coaster of emotions all day today.
Instead of a bandwagon, it's a roller coaster. All right. Steelers-Browns. Steelers winning that one by the skin of their teeth. I have to say, they were up by, like, how many points? I went to lunch, and I came back, and all of a sudden I see a tie game. What was going on? I guess the question is, what happens with the Browns running backs now?
It's going to be dependent on what happens with Ben Tate and how long he's out with this knee problem. This was my fear for Ben Tate, because this is his history. He hasn't played 16 games in his NFL career. He's taken on little, you know, bumps and bruises. Some he's played through, like last year with the rib injury. And now we'll see if he's able to play through this knee problem. The Browns now realize that there's other guys in that backfield that can carry the load. Terrence West had a miserable preseason. But you know what? He came out and runs for 100 yards in his first NFL game. Same thing with Isaiah Crowell. Comes out and scores 2 touchdowns. So this is now going to be, I think, a crowded backfield. It's going to be something that fantasy owners have to look for. And this is why, I know, at least for me, I was down on Ben Tate coming into the season, because I was expecting other mouths to be fed in this backfield.
Dave.
But I actually liked Tate a little bit more toward the end of the preseason.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like he was going to be the every down
guy. Was it him being bad, or was it West being bad?
It was West being bad that forced the Browns to say that Tate's going to be our guy. And then as soon as Tate gets hurt, West does his thing, Crowell does his thing. They could end up being a pretty good running team. It's a statement that they go out to Pittsburgh and they do this against the Steelers in a half. Basically, it all came in the second half, did it not? A little bit in the first half, but most of it in the second half.
But do you fear a situation, though, if everybody is running well, is there one guy to look at and say, that's the best one? Is it like the Saints?
It is.
To a certain degree.
And it's a little disappointing that Crowell gets the touchdowns and West gets the yardage, which means that if West doesn't get the yardage, Crowell might have the good day. Or if they run into a buzzsaw of a defense, eventually they're going to play teams like the Bengals and the Ravens, and they're going to have a hard time putting up numbers there too. So we're not out of the woods yet, but we're still grabbing for running backs and trying to find running backs that we feel good about starting. And at the very least, if Tate's out next week, then you've got West, you've got Crowell as potential flex options.
And one positive note from the Steelers' perspective, Marcus Wheaton comes out and plays well. And this gives us another receiver, another flex option. You know, especially if the Bears guys are hurt, this is somebody that's going to be available to you on waivers.
Are we still worried about Le'Veon Bell?
Nope.
Cue that song.
But you know what, though? Still a red zone touchdown that he lost.
He did lose one.
So that's
side
the 10
keep
an eye on.
To LeGarrette.
Right. Much to the chagrin of anyone who bet the spread. All right. We're going to... I don't know who on this desk would have done that. We're heading to a commercial break, friends, but don't go away. Now that you've gotten the advice that you need, it's time to put it to good use. Join a CBS Sports Prize League and compete for up to $5,000 with a cash prize in every league. Go to cbssports.com/FFT to join or create a league today. Stick around. We'll be right back with more from the Fantasy Football Today post-game show.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Shironi with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. Guys, we got 3 more games to recap. So let's start with the blowout. Vikings-Rams, 34-6. Is Cordarrelle Patterson a total stud or what?
Yes. Yes. I hope people listen to us all off season, week one, you know, read both of our columns, our FanDuel previews. This guy.
Oh, let's just say it. We love him.
Yeah, this guy has a chance to be special. And, you know, it's only going to come as he develops as a receiver. But you see what happens when they put the ball in his hands. 100 yards rushing. That's just impressive.
On three attempts. I don't think you're going to get that every week. Just going to go out on a limb and say that he might not do that again.
You're a great prognosticator.
Rusher. That's what I do. But, you know, a little disappointed. Three catches for 26 yards. A little disappointed Greg Jennings had the touchdown in the game. But there's other weeks ahead. It's kind of good that he had the bust game as far as, you know, pass catching is concerned. And he'll have other games down the line where he will catch six, seven, eight passes, put up a lot of yardage with it. Phenomenal athlete, great talent. Has the right coordinator, he'll have good matchups moving on.
And when he has that crazy bucket of numbers, you guys can go ahead and say, see, we told you so, well before the season started, right? Yes.
He was a great rusher. The Rams guys, however,
not so much to talk about there.
You see what Zach Stacy and Benny Cunningham did. That was that was frustrating, but at least Zach Stacy owners can sort of relax a little bit because he got more work than Cunningham did.
Speaking of not so much, let's move on to the 49ers-Cowboys. I say this as a perturbed fantasy owner. What happened to Tony Romo? What happened?
He did not look good.
Nope.
And that would be putting it mildly. He was off the mark quite a bit. And on one play, Young does Bryant out to dry, and Bryant looked like he took a hit to his back that could have cut him in half in the game. Not very good, but something that I would expect the Cowboys to correct and be more efficient offensively. And give him more pass attempts, too. He only had 37 in the game, which, all things considered, is not a lot for Tony Romo and what we expect from him this season.
DeMarco Murray was running fantastic in this game. He looked great outside of the fumble in the first quarter. But, yeah, you would expect a little bit more. It was nice to see Terrence Williams play well, get the late touchdown. Jason Witten was a disappointment in this game. Des Bryant statistically was a disappointment in this game. So it's not exactly the start if you bought into, like I did, and I know obviously, I recommended him and this offense a lot. I think there are better days to come. Next week, they get the Titans. It should do a little bit better, have a little bit better performance.
Yeah, it's not all on Tony Romo. It was just not so much for the Cowboys.
Well, he made bad throws. I mean, it was, you know, he made the bad throw in the end zone. It should have been a touchdown.
Right.
If he gets that touchdown, you know, take away an interception, give him the second touchdown, his fantasy production, you know, he's in that 18-point range. So we would have been okay with that. Wouldn't have been great, but we would have been okay with that. So he definitely got outplayed by his counterpart.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick looked very good. Vernon Davis looked fantastic. Frank Gore, you know, lost the touchdown to Carlos Hyde. That's obviously something that's frustrating. And Michael Crabtree.
Nothing.
Yeah, you have to wonder if the injury was a problem for him.
Or do you have to wonder that because the 49ers got to a big lead and Crabtree wasn't a part of it, that
No, because Bolden was playing a big role early on. So I think, and there were times where it was Bolden and Brandon Lloyd on the field. I think they were limiting Crabtree.
Yep. So the injury was a factor.
I think so. You just have to wonder if it was you know, one of those things. We talked about this before, you know, not necessarily coaches playing mind games, but they're having guys active but not using them. And I would caution that with Andre Ellington owners for Monday. Even though if a guy's active, you have to wonder if, in fact, he is going to play 100%.
Pay attention, Ellington owners. You heard it from Jamie. All right, Panthers, Bucks. Look, I know it's just week one, like we've been saying. You know, it's hard to judge. But for all the hype, Tampa Bay did not look good. So was this just a bad game for them, or was this a sign of things to come? What do you think?
I think it's just a tough matchup for them. They couldn't get their ground game going at all. Doug Martin had 9 attempts for 9 yards. And I guess that was to be expected. I thought that maybe he'd be able to break out a little bit more. I thought he'd be able to run behind Logan Mankins. He got hurt in the game. Martin got hurt in the game.
Yeah.
So they were pretty much down to being more pass-oriented. They tried to get it done with Bobby Rainey. He fumbled when they were going for a last-gasp attempt to try and win the game late in that. Mike Evans had a touchdown that was ruled ineligible because he stepped out of Jackson, did nothing in the game. There was a lot of bad for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I'd say through the first half to maybe even the first three quarters of the game. A little bit of room for optimism later on. As for Carolina, with Derek Anderson playing, they did a pretty nice job. Kelvin Benjamin had a big game. Greg Olsen had a big game. And if Cam had played, you have to think he would have had a big game too.
At least throwing the ball. You have to wonder how he would have done running the ball.
Right.
But yeah, kudos to you on the Kelvin Benjamin call. That was, you know, good job pointing that out. I will say this, though. Doug Martin may have gotten the touchdown at the end, you know, if he had been healthy.
Yeah.
Right? Rainey scored that touchdown. So you have to wonder if Martin was in there, you know, stayed 100%, if that would have gone to him. So,
oh, I would have loved if Mr. Martin
A lot of people would as well.
A lot of us would have loved it.
Yeah, he did not deliver anything.
I think he was like 100% start or something. something. I mean,
of course, yeah.
There was no reason.
We loved him early, or not early, but late in the draft when draft season when Charles Sims went down. This was a guy we were talking about as a top 15 pick.
And the Mankins trade, you know, so that was something to help.
Yeah, so if Mankins turns out to be okay and if Martin turns out to be okay, I would not panic. This was a tough matchup for him against Carolina.
And then they have the good news for the Panthers is that Cam is expected to start in week two.
It's the way the cookie crumbles in football, fantasy football. All right, guys, we're going to head to a commercial break. But don't go away, friends. Now that you've gotten the advice that you need, it's time to put it to good use. Join a CBS Sports Prize League and compete for up to $5,000 with a cash prize in every league. Go to cbssports.com/FFT to join or create a league today. And, of course, stick around. We will be back with our final segment of the Fantasy Football Today post-game show.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBSSports.com.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Today post-game show presented by State Farm. I'm Erin Chevronia, joined by Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg. All right, guys, we got through the games. Time for what everyone's been waiting for. Obviously, look ahead to waiver wire targets. Perhaps the most important part of the show, some might say.
It's an important part of fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I'm going to let you guys roll with it. Jamie?
Sure. I've already started gathering my list for Tuesday. So, Dave, you tell me if any of these guys maybe sound intriguing to you. And there's, you know, some of these guys are mentioned on the graphic here.
Hit me with
Jake Locker. Any interest in playing Dallas next week, starting him?
Yeah.
I thought so. He's owned in 27% of leagues. Some guys you're probably not going to look at maybe more than two quarterback leagues, but Chad Henne, Matt Cassel, Derek Carr, Ryan Tannehill, E.J. Manuel, and we know Cam Newton starting next week, but Derek Anderson. So Locker really the only quarterback I think people want to target. Running back's a little more interesting because we know there's some injuries there. Some guys that stepped up and played well. James Starks?
Sure.
Like him?
Might need him next week if Eddie Lacy's out.
Some shallower leagues, guys that are owned in a little under 30%. Terrence West, 70% ownership. Mark Ingram, 77% ownership. They should be at 100% next week.
Yep.
Totally agree. Chris Ivory, 56%.
I'm not as excited about him as I am the other two, but I'm probably going to be in a lot of leagues where Ivory's available and West isn't. So, yeah, I probably would start to look at him.
Sean Green, 54%.
Yeah, he still makes me ill.
Isaiah Crowell, 2%?
He does not make me ill. I think he's a pretty good running back, and if Tate's injury is significant, I probably would find a roster spot for him.
Justin Forsett, 0% ownership.
I'll say it again. He's going to play on Thursday. That's typically when running backs tend to have good games. It's the short week, and Forsett, if you need a fix just for week two, he could be your guy.
All right, I'll look at some receivers. Allen Hurns, 5% ownership.
Yeah, that percentage is going to go up. Everybody's going to buy into that first quarter he had. They should look at the other three quarters he had because I don't know if he was really very good after that. The positive is he will play a lot. I just don't like a guy catching passes from Chad Henne, and I'm doing the robot.
DeAndre Hopkins, 69%. Marcus Wheaton, 50%. The two Raiders
Wheaton
guys.
I like a lot.
I agree. Rod Streeter, James Jones, 35% for Streeter, 39% for Jones.
Yeah.
Brian Quick led the Rams in receiving today, 2% ownership.
I liked him. He had a good preseason. That's a guy to keep in mind, too. A
couple guys from your alma mater, Devin Hester, 1% ownership. Travis Benjamin, 0% ownership.
Love those guys when they played for the Hurricanes. I'm not going to say anything bad about them in the pros.
I know a guy you're very excited about, and you're going to expect his ownership to rise as well. Andre Hopkins, 29% ownership.
DeAndre Hopkins?
Andre Hawkins.
Andre Hawkins. I thought you said Hopkins, and I got confused.
Excuse me.
No. Yeah, I am excited about him.
Andrew Hawkins.
He's a nice, fast, quick player who's going to catch a lot of passes.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Andrew Hawkins of the Browns.
It's been a long day. It's
and then a few tight ends real quick, Erin. I'm sorry. Delanie Walker, 55% ownership.
Liked him this week. I don't know if I'm going to like him every week.
Scored a touchdown this week. Lavine Toilolo, 4% ownership.
No, I'm not into him.
Niles Paul played very well with Jordan Reed out. 0% ownership. Deeper leagues, maybe consider it.
Deeper.
And Travis Kelce, I still think, is worth buying into. 44% ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be people that drop Kelce, too. They picked him up. They want to see if he could do anything in week one. He didn't do anything. They'll cut him to pick up one of the other names on that list. So Kelce could be a guy that you get on the rebound after the waivers run on Tuesday.
Next week, this segment is going to be called Ill or Not Ill. Does this waiver wire pickup make Dave Richard ill or not ill? I really think that's the benchmark. I mean, makes you puke or not.
Yeah.
Right? It's fair enough.
I puke a lot.
I'm not even going to go there. I almost did today with my lovely picks.
Yeah. Your Jets somehow won and they still made you sick.
Exactly. Well, when they win and you still lose, that's how it goes with them.
Right. Because, like, you know they're not going to go and win the division, right? Like, it seems like it's crazy for the Jets to.
Exactly. But you never know. Twilight Zone could be a Twilight Zone season. Anything can happen. Speaking of which, let's look ahead to Monday night, all right? Starting with the Giants Lions. Is there even any chance for the Giants? I mean, is there? I mean,
based on today, you'd have to say yes.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I guess that's true.
You said there's any chance for Buffalo to go into Chicago and win that game. The Dolphins to beat the Patriots.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, the 49ers looked miserable in the preseason. They came out and played very well. The back half of this defense for Detroit is not good. If they can avoid the pressure, then you could see Eli Manning. You know, maybe they were saving some things and they unveil it against the Lions. I wouldn't expect it. That's why we have these guys ranked where they do. Right. Victor Cruz, normally a staple in our top 24 outside. I have him 27. I think you have him probably somewhere in the 30s.
Yeah.
Reuben Randall's a guy we both like coming into the season. He's not ranked anywhere close to being a starting option. Rashad Jennings is somebody that's going to get a lot of work, but still you have to figure this Detroit defense is going to do a good job shutting them down. So it's really expecting to be, from a fantasy perspective, a lot of Detroit. Someone or two will make some plays for the Giants. It's just a matter of who will it be.
Yeah, I like taking a cautious approach with the Giants, too. If I can get away with not starting any of them, I'm a happy guy.
I agree 100%. It's nice to see we're all three on the same page as we
harmony.
Come to the close. Yes, right. It's very harmonious. All right, let's see if we can stay the same page with the Chargers-Cardinals. Thoughts on that game?
Well, let's start with the running backs in Arizona and whether or not Andre Ellington's going to play. It looks like he's not going to play, which means it's Jonathan Dwyer time. I would not be excited about that. That's a desperation replacement for Andre Ellington, and if you waited this long, hopefully you've got both of those guys to go with. I think Arizona airs it out. I think they take advantage of the San Diego secondary. I don't think it's very good. I think you could see Carson Palmer have a real big game, but I think the running backs in San Diego are going to get a lot of use too. I don't know if it's going to equate to a huge game for Ryan Matthews. I've got him and Danny Wood toward the bottom of my top 24 this week, so I think they can be number two running backs in a standard league, and obviously Woodhead in a PPR is going to catch a lot of passes, but that's probably the way that they're going to attack the Cardinals.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dwyer scores a cheap touchdown. Not going to get you a lot of yards.
Possible.
But if they get inside the five, he was going to get that role anyway.
Right.
So with the additional work that he'll get, he's an okay flex option if you're going into the match. You know, we talked a lot about this Sunday morning. I have Ellington. I picked up Dwyer. Let's see how it all shakes out. You're not going to be in a terrible situation, especially given the running back situation for today. Yeah. Dwyer with a touchdown and maybe 40 or 50 yards is going to put him in the top half of fantasy production for the week.
Although I have this churning feeling in the pit of my stomach that I'm going to regret starting Romo over Palmer, but that's
People are going to regret starting Romo over everybody.
Yeah,
the Aaron Rodgers.
I know.
This is what could.
I mean, you could have started Derek Anderson, Aaron.
That's true. If I had Derek Anderson, if I had taken
no
him
one had Derek Anderson.
10th round.
That's why fantasy's fun.
That's right. All right. Well, speaking of fun, I'm sorry, my friends, we are out of time. Next time we're together, Jamie's going to be a new papa. Bun
I'm
in the oven.
I'm going to be a new father in, what time is it? 8:47?
12 hours.
About 12 hours,
less
right?
Less than 12 hours.
Congratulations.
Mazel tov in advance.
Appreciate
Mr.
that.
Mr. Eisenberg.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another edition of Fantasy Football Today post-game show. Keep it right here on CBSSports.com throughout the week for more good stuff from these guys to keep you winning. I'm Erin Shironi with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the week.